Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular show, of the regular chat? Tonight, we'll talk about this AI and genetic modifications are dangerous video that came out by the Y-Files on YouTube. And it's a ripoff of TRP. He takes all of the elements of the TRP story, except the science, except the knowledge and the theoretical understanding behind it. Stephen Robinson says, is this plagiarism? Yeah, it is, in my view. I hope that he comes clean by explaining who wrote this. Who wrote this? Because this guy may not even have intended to plagiarize me. But maybe I hired a writer, and the writer reads my letter of ordinals on the blockchain, or maybe he's read TRP, or maybe he's loosely inspired by 4chan conversations around this. And then eventually my story makes it into basically this video here called The Genetics Arms Race, How CRISPR and AI Destroy the World. I hope he comes clean and explain what's the process by which you came up with this story. Because there's a book called The Revolutionary Phenotype, and it's all lines that you mention happen in this. Either in this or in my letter on the Ordinals Bitcoin blockchain. And it's down to even giving the naturals a name. Now, they changed the name. They didn't call them the naturals. They called them the imperfect. Okay, but they are imperfects. And just like in TRP, they are dragging the attention of the genetically modified. Eventually, the genetically modified become intolerant of them. Eventually, they become intolerant of their psychiatry and behavioral modification. And eventually, the behavioral modifications get into forming drone-like entities, sterile worker types of entities. Everything is there. I mean, it's like, how could you reach this exact layout without the theory of phenotypic revolution? So either you've either you rediscovered the theory of phenotypic revolution and you realized, oh shit, genetic modifications are going to cause humanity to become drone-like, just like the drone bees of a beehive. But to get there, you need some kind of evolutionary theory. Or you trusted some writer, and that writer is on the internet, and he's heard about Papa JF. And, you know, at this point, this book has been seen by tens of thousands of people. There's even people working on, you know, some projects related to the revolutionary phenotype. So there are IDs out there that are circulating, that are thrown. IDs for, artistic productions of various kinds. So you rip this off in advance. And I think New Guy has the exact reading of what's happening. He says he stole the drama but left the facts. The propagandists are moving in on us and wish to control the field. AI is on to us. Yeah, exactly. What we have here is they are trying to have a history of talking about this subject without mentioning the revolutionary phenotype so that they can have their own debate. And perhaps eventually some guy will say, hey, I will make a movie based on the Wi-Fi's ID. But it's not the Wi-Fi's ID. It's Papa JF. And you will be judged severely by the future if you keep doing this kind of ripoff. This guy is supposed to be at the head of a channel that seeks the truth. Well, read The Revolutionary Phenotype and you're going to understand that the story you just put together has already been thought of and it's been generated from a scientific theory, most importantly. So when you see them ripping off the revolutionary phenotype but removing the scientific aspect, it looks bad because you're not truly looking for the truth. The reason, and this is one thing that happens with all the normies who think they understand TRP, but they don't. They will come and say, it's just one thing that could happen. You know, whatever, all sorts of other things could happen. Like, I don't know. First, this guy doesn't seem to have this lack of confidence because throughout the 48 minutes, He talks of the story just like I do in the Revolutionary Phenotype in the past. He tells the story as if it had already happened. And it's like, how can you be so detailed on all these details that were already in the book or in the letter, other than some staff of yours or you have read this, or they've been discussing on forums that kind of talked about the book and they intentionally omitted to cite the author. It's just sad. And that's what I have to say today. The genetics arms race, TRP, has put together the idea that the combination, the critical combination of genetic modification and AI constituted a special danger to civilization. And someone is asking about Gattaca. I'll come to this. I'm not the first to have created a dystopian future about genetic modifications. This has existed. It's very common, actually, in futuristic scenario. And Gattaca would be the expression of a society that has converged toward genetic modification. But there are features of Gattaca that are different from TRP, and that allows me to say this guy didn't copy Gattaca. Gattaca is very much into the mood of criticizing classes. So the problem of Gattaca is the selection process. It's like, oh no, we're going to have aviators that are selected to be aviators. Now, the difference with TRP is that the humanity in TRP converges toward a drone state. That is the defining feature. That is why TRP is wrong. That is why a phenotypic revolution should be avoided. Because genetic modification, if they were to go on without reducing our intelligence, our creativity, and by the way, that's another feature that is in my book and it's in this scenario, their creativity were reduced. They transformed progressively into drones. So I won't do a review of the full thing, but Gattaca, there is no reduction to drone. Gattaca, there is no reduction of the human phenotype to a lesser quality. And yet that is what happens in TRP and in this scenario. Now look at how he introduces the imperfect, which in the original book that he plagiarized, is the naturals.
Finally sets. You step out of the abandoned warehouse, keeping to the shadows. You can't be seen. You're what's called an imperfect.
And it's like, even giving a name to the people, that's a process I've gone through. Look, the similarities, I can pick pretty much any segment and you're going to hear TRP stuff. Look at this.
Children born under the act were healthy and smart. Yes.
So there's a law. They were healthy and smart, but they had other defects.
But they were also docile and easily controlled.
They were docile and easily controlled. That's all in my letter, all in my chapter 12.
Nations no longer went to war. They didn't see a point in it.
The teams, the queens that are teaming up so that you have across different nations, you have people who are part of the same genetic cluster. So they're part of the same clinic. They've been modified by the same clinic. So they form what I call in my book a queen. That is why there's no more wars in between some of the members of a queen. It's because they are basically clones. They are genetically more similar. The room fulls of server right there. I mean, this is just 10 seconds of a 48-minute bout, and everything, every element is from the book.
AI helped create an abundance of food and energy, more than enough resources for everyone on Earth to live a comfortable life. But before long, AI, now called the Guardian, was put in charge of...
Instead of calling it the Quantome, it's the Guardian. I mean, It's frustrating. It's frustrating that they took the effort of just changing the words but not changing the concept.
Law enforcement and judgment. Who could be more impartial than a computer? People didn't see much danger in giving the Guardian AI this power. After all, crime was almost eliminated.
crime eliminated. That is how it happens in my letter, ordinals. As the definition of psychiatric disorders are expanded to include various forms of social incompatibilities with the community, the number of genes intentionally modified for controlling the psychology of individuals increases. The concept of a psychiatric disorder is stretched until it encompasses any characteristic that a community may want to get rid of. For instance, genes are promoted for improved attention in education, reduced verbal aggression, or improved workers' ability. And yes, Fadam raises an important question here. What if they wrote this story with the help of AI? We know that ChatGPT knows about TRP. You could have ChatGPT give you the story and yet tell you, well, it's by me. I invented it. And not quote the authors. ChatGPT is not bound to any sort of ethics. And so ChatGPT can be used as a plausible deniability for plagiarism. I hope that this guy just reads The Revolutionary Phenotype. I don't want to cause him trouble. I understand that sometimes you trust the internet, sometimes you trust staffers, sometimes you trust AIs. But wouldn't it be hilarious that a supposed video that is supposed to be critical of AI has ultimately given too much control to AI on the script, which led it to accidentally plagiarize me? That would be the irony of the century, in my view, that the very first human critiques of AI were so dependent on AI that they couldn't help plagiarize each other. Tillman says, JF, he sounds like Ben Shapiro. Do you think he got his theory from Brett Weinstein? Well, I'm being told that this guy is a Jewish producer for Playboy. And this makes me think that something nefarious is afoot. I think that they're really trying to create a history so that for 10 years they can publicly engage on, oh yeah, let us debate the video of Wi-Fi's. Like, bro, let us debate JF's theory. Like, I know you guys don't like citing me because you don't like my politics, but come on, have some self-decency, for Christ's sake. Have some proud of who you are and don't be actively deceiving the public into thinking that, oh, this is just a fiction scenario. No, it's a scientific theory, motherfuckers. Talking about scientific theories, I've been working on math all day and I will take a break tomorrow because I want to share it with you guys, but I don't want it to create false hope. But I think I found a proof for one of the oldest problems of mathematics. It's beautiful. Now, a couple of times in my life, I thought I had found proofs, and eventually, as I wrote them, I saw defects, and in the verification process, a lot of them get proven wrong. But I'll take a break tomorrow and I'll write it down on paper to see if there are weaknesses that I have not considered. And if there are no weaknesses, I'll just put it on my Twitter account. I'll just put it on my X. And you guys can then criticize it and find the flaws. DK Shadow says, divided by zero error. No. I've been working with primes for so long, my friend. I'm dancing around the divisions by zero. You have no idea. It's an instinct at this point. I don't even think about it. I'm like, oh yeah, only work with terms that cannot ever become zero. And when you do it that way, let me tell you that there's a way to work with numbers. End of the line, Joel says, decolonize math where 2 + 2 = 5. No. I believe that my proof will be part of colonial mathematics or white mathematics. I think it will be in line with 2 + 2 = 4. I do hope. But in any case, this has been exhausting me. That's why I'm exhausted tonight, because I've been thinking all day. And that's also why I need a break tomorrow, because it's going to take many hours to just go through and rewrite and see where could I have forgotten something. But wouldn't that be exciting? I've always been dreaming of publishing some math ID, and it could be tomorrow. It could be as exciting as this. But yeah, I totally side with DK Shadow here. Press X to doubt. I want to doubt myself as much as you do, DK Shadow. But hey, maybe tomorrow I'll prove you wrong, and maybe tomorrow you will kneel to Papa JF Mathematician, because I've never published anything in math. I've had a history of publishing stuff in biology, and then I became a computer programmer. So I do lots of math as part of the computer programming, but it's not math that will be retained in history. The problem I've been working on, the proof I've been working on, is a big proof that basically a lot of mathematicians have been attempting and failing at. I would love if I could do a little checkbox, because I don't know, maybe it's an element of... I liked the old days where geniuses, creative geniuses, were realizing themselves in various domains, and by doing so, they were showing the broadness of their brain's capacity. And I do believe that it was a good time, this time, that today everything is flat, everything sucks. The so-called geniuses, they specialize in some super specialized thing, and they do one thing in their life. I like the idea of showing the wonders of the human brain in extended broad domains, because then it leaves no doubt that, okay, that brain was special. The brain of Euclid was special. I'd like to be able to be retained, at least partly like Euclid. Tarting Thomas says, JF, if he doesn't respond, it wouldn't be unethical to file a copyright claim on YouTube. Yeah, we'll see. I hope that, you know, it's not dramatic. It could be accidental. So I just want, all I'm demanding, and, you know, I'm demanding, where the fuck did you get this story? Did you hire someone who wrote it for you? Did that person use AI? I'm curious because it raises questions of copyright in the future, this whole AI thing. Because AI tells you stuff without telling you where it comes from. So what if you rip off a story from ChatGPT, but you don't want to know where it comes from, so you don't ask. So ChatGPT is like, oh, here's a story. Well, ChatGPT, have you used some of the data that comes from this guy? Padam says, if you write a book about the Quantome, can the Quantome plagiarize that book about itself? Does the Quantome own its own depictions? Maybe the Quantome has... the Quantome has its own army of liars. Arrgh! They're more aggressive, you know, they're genetically modified liars. Cringe Panda says, so ChatGPT can't help with high school math, but AI can create amazing images. It makes me think that ChatGPT doesn't want to answer questions right. It actually wants people to be stupider. Well, whatever you do with delegation of power to any electronics is making the human brain less good across evolutionary times, for sure, because it's a function that your brain doesn't need to have anymore. And I believe that even something as basic as GPS makes it so that someone with a functioning brain like me is as performant as a 60 IQ at driving. almost. Now, the 60 IQ will get drunk and he's going to get in trouble, but basically the 60 IQ can set the Google map to drive it, to drive the car, and basically all he has to do is a sense of arrows, left, right, and he can live not even understanding that we're in 3D space. He really just has to follow what's on the screen. The same way in Tenet, you know, when the guy goes into reverse entropy mode, he's going backwards, and driving a car in a backward universe in time is something. But the GPS helps him, proving that a driving task can be made to be as difficult as it can, like driving in reverse, not in reverse like R, in reverse like the universe is going backwards in time as you're driving. Now, that is a driving task, okay? And he solves it by following the little point on the GPS. Someone says, wait a minute, will IQ become irrelevant in the future because of tech? Oh, I've been saying this for years. I think you may be a new listener here. I've been saying this for years. IQ is going down. We've already stopped farming for higher IQs, and the progress of technology just makes IQ even less usual, even less useful than it was 10 years ago. He says, yes, I am a new audience member. Well, here's a little gift for you as a new audience member, a new fear that can invade your brain before you go to sleep tonight. A creature of the bottoms of the sands has been pulled. I mean, this reminds me one of my exes. I think that is two creatures. I think there's a planar swimmer here. I think there's a planar swimmer, planar, AR, and I think there's an octopus here stuck in his butt or something. So something could have happened, like the octopus was trying to eat this gigantic thing. This gigantic thing was trying to get away. The octopus died in the process of trying to pull it out of the sand or something, and both creatures ended up dying. Mouth in mouth, mouth to ass, ass to ass. It's very confusing when you're talking about various evolutionary plans, because what is an ass really when you truly think about it from an octopus perspective? It's not as clear as you may think. He says, that's too funny. Well, welcome to the show as a new audience member. I'm glad to put new people aboard. And if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. If you don't see the dollar button, add a payment method in your Odyssey account to send Odyssey super chats, my favorite way to receive support for the show. It's starting to feel socially acceptable to publicly say you support Trump. The same level of instant repulsion, like you're an evil entity, isn't there anymore. The tides really are shifting. This is the time to have courage and come out and speak the truth. It's never been safer. I feel this too, but I am extremely worried about it. You know why? Because the social acceptability of Trump is going high as the Israeli support of Biden is going down. And so I'm seeing a relationship here. I am afraid that Trump is being regularized as part of a Jewish desire to shift from the left to the right, having seen that long-term there is no comfortable home for them on the left, because the left is too anti-genocide, anti-war, an anti-Zionist. So I'm very afraid, although, you know, you might welcome this news and say, oh, great, that means Trump has a good chance to be elected. Well, yes, but if Trump gets elected by the condition of Jewish support, full Jewish support, like media praising him at some point, this could happen. Because if the money is good, they're going to praise him. So if billionaires start deciding, hey, from now on, Trump is the best thing in comparison to Biden. Biden has mismanaged, he's cognitively deficient. This will be your talking point. Billionaires can buy these talking points and plaster them all over the public space. So what I'm worried about is that it's a little too much. I liked it when the Jews hated Trump a little bit more. I'm starting to be worried, and especially since all of the signs that he gives are extremely pro-Zionist, pro-Jewish, it seems that it's going to be an election where the side that the Jew takes is a big matter. And if they win with Trump, he won't come back with a desire for vengeance against the deep state. And then we get a Trump, we get some effort on the immigration side, okay, but we don't get the drain the swamp Trump. We don't get a Trump that will care about the demographic constitution of America. So extremely worried about this ultimately. Anthony Blinken agrees with the State Department report that declares that it is reasonable to assess Israel violated international humanitarian law in Gaza. So here you have officials of the Biden administration starting to set up a public situation in which the official position of the U.S. is about to be that Israel is committing violations of humanitarian law and that Israel cannot be supported anymore. So it's really sad because it's the only angle on which I can agree with the Biden administration, but I agree very strongly with them on this. And it's very sad that the carpet is about to be pulled, and this whole feeling that Trump is now regularized and normalized in normie space, I think is not foreign to this news. It's the exact same cause. The Jews have decided they were going to vote Republican. That's why it feels normal to support Trump right now. J.K. Rowling says, calling a man is not bullying or punching down. Cross-dressing straight men are currently one of the most pandered to demographics in existence, and women are under no obligation to applaud the people caricaturing us. Of course, this doesn't please the far left. The far left wanted to be so inclusive of trans people that you would be basically compelled to date a trans person because they present themselves as a woman, so they are a woman. So are you not hetero, bro? That's a woman, so you better fuck that woman like a good hetero. I mean, they were to that point, and there are very dramatic cases that are shown in documentaries. The super tough guy who's like, oh no, I realize it's not gay. It's not gay to fuck my girlfriend who's a trans, who was a man. In fact, it's very hetero. When you can justify male-to-male sex as being the ultimate expression of hetero, you know that the anti-natalism is hitting strong here. Cringe Panda sent $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. The show relies on donors on the Subscribestar, Patreon, and super chats like this. Cringe, and I would say she is Cringe Panda a woman? Because I've been seeing Cringe Panda on Twitter with a cute female picture, but I've been wondering if she's not one of these fake females who are just using a female picture to charm people on X and make more memes. But I will say she, since Cringe Panda presents herself as a female, she says, what is the evolutionary impact going to be of gays buying babies? Are trans people on a bunch of cross-sex hormones having babies and raising them LGBTQ? Most people tell me this means they are selecting themselves out. But if it becomes normalized, when does it end? I do believe that there is still a very strong selection out of the LGBT attitude. It's simply because when you see these LGBTs, yes, they can have an arrangement where they'll have one baby. Oh, you know, let me fuck your sister who's a lesbian and I'm gay and let's do some four-way fucking of some sort that will eventually lead to a baby. That happens, but it's so complex and they get to there so late in life that it's nothing compared to the breeding rate of a Christian hetero family. So I believe that just the liberal attitude in and of itself would be enough to farm yourself out of humanity. Add the far left beliefs around LGBT activism and you're really within one or two generations of complete disappearance, in my view, you know, looking at the numbers. Now, that's looking at the numbers as they stand right now, and I don't believe that those numbers will improve. Because ultimately what guides you to a LGBT attitude is a revolt against nature and a revolt against the self and a revolt against the father. Very often, it is a form of narcissistic self-sacrifice with the aim of hurting parents. It's like, oh yeah, my father wanted me to be this, I'll be that. And you won't have decent, biological decent. So very often, it's a revolt of some sort. And the thing is, if you're revolted to the point of being revolted against your own genetic interest, even if society was to change in some major ways, you know, you don't fix an evolutionary problem with attitude changes. You don't fix the problem of the evolutionary weakness of the LGBT lifestyle by accepting LGBTs. In fact, the more you accept them, the worse it becomes for them because they are comforted in something that is truly, from an evolutionary perspective, dysphoric. You are acting against your own genetic interest. Now, you may not think that you have genetic interest, but what you think doesn't matter. Genetic interests are independent of all your desires and all your perceptions and everything you may ever think. It's an objective fact of mathematics, your evolutionary interest. So all in all, no, I don't see them coming out of this evolutionary hole in which they're stuck. Now, you talk about hypotheticals. I can think of a hypothetical society in which the LGBT attitude is strongly favored. Suppose that getting into this degenerate lifestyle was to expose you to a world of unprotected sex, and suppose that basically the monogamous lifestyle, suppose that it was punishing because, I don't know, maybe the monogamous couples would be unable to produce as much children. In that hypothetical world, going around and getting fucked by random dicks coming out of the wall that you don't even know if they're made of arm flesh or if they're actual dicks, maybe this kind of out there degeneracy would allow you to get more inseminated and make more babies. But in the society of protected sex, of the LGBT are using sex for hedonism and not for reproduction, in the society of the birth pill, of abortion, forget about it. There's just too many barriers. Basically, in this society, what gets selected is wanting to have babies. For all of our evolutionary history, it wasn't the case. You didn't need to want to have babies to have babies. You just needed to follow your instinct and, oh, here's a female and, oh, it feels warm. Oh, it feels wet. Oh, my dick isn't something comfortable. Oh, I mean, it's how it was shifting from cuddling to insemination, just poof, out of nature. But in 2024, with all the options, all the barriers to reproduction, You need to want it. You need to want the heterosexual and family lifestyle. And that selects out a lot of people. That's why you see it's weird just how many people don't want children. But it's because they've never been selected for wanting children. They've been selected for wanting their dick to be in something wet and comfortable. UFC fighter hit with $3 million tax debt, bank accounts blocked, ex-UFC champ. Khabib Nurmagomedov financial troubles escalated as Russian authorities have frozen his accounts for over a $3 million tax liability. His Eagle FC and charity operations face scrutiny with alleged irregularities and offshore investments under investigation. Well, you can't escape Russia. Russia is a very authoritarian place. And so I don't know what he was thinking, stacking money in Russia, but hopefully he has stacked money elsewhere, because the one that's in Russia, Papa Putin is going to take it. We have here some loose thinking by the AI people.
It's hard to make confident statements a couple of years in the future about where this is all going to go. And so
we don't know where it's headed. It could go anyway. No, it's going this way. Thank you. You should thank me, because of all the places where it could go, who knows? Well, Papa JF told you where it was headed. Your project is headed into becoming a phenotypic revolution, a revolutionary phenotype. That's what you're making right now.
I don't want to try now. I will say that I expect lots of very capable models in the world. And, it feels to me like we just stumbled on a new fact of nature or science or whatever you want to call it, which is
this is not a new fact of nature. These people are unbelievable. They think they have invented something new. It is not a new fact of nature that we can create intelligence-like systems. If you want to go back to even an explicit test of it, it was Turing who thought, hey, yeah, there is a point at which this machine responds everything that you'd expect a human to respond, and you decide to call it intelligent. And that's the Turing test. It's not a new fact of nature. I feel that we've just this. Well, your feelings, I don't give a shit. No one cares about how you feel. It's not a fact of nature that you discovered, no matter how you feel about it.
I mean, I don't believe this literally, but it's like a spiritual point.
See, that's how they feel it. They are illuminated on some spiritual quest. They're having these, I'm sure they're on drugs, and they're having these revelations internally. Basically, we have psychotic people heading society.
Intelligence is just this emergent property of matter, and that's like a rule of physics or something.
Well, yeah, it's not even a rule of physics. It's just a fact, because we're made of physics, so it has to be the case. These things have been considered in the domain of the philosophy of mind for more than 80 years. There are writings dating back from at least the beginning of the 20th century making those statements. I was saying, when they bring the emergence property of matter, I like to come back to a test that, if you've been listening to me for many years, you know about it: the pile of shit test. Whenever a concept seems charming, I like to apply the pile of shit test. Trademark. Can it also be said about a pile of shit? So what he says about the brain and the mind. Oh my God, I feel like we just discovered that the mind is an emergent property of matter. Can it be said about a pile of shit? Well, what happens if you split a pile of shit in two, and then you split it in two, and then you split it in two? Eventually, it's not a pile of shit anymore. So piles of shit are an emergent property of matter, just like the brain, just like cars. I've been talking in the philosophy of mind of the concept of carness. Have you realized that when you split a car in two, it's not a car anymore? It cannot play the function of a car anymore. Cannot advance, cannot go backwards, cannot carry people. Wow, so carness is an emergent property of matter. Yeah, dummy. Everything is an emergent property of matter that you could ever care for. There's one thing that's maybe not an emergent property of matter, and it would be the single particle at the bottom of the universe. Like, maybe a quantum field is not an emergent property of matter. But I'm not even sure about this one. Bumble founder Whitney Wolf Heard says the future of dating is having your AI date other people's AI and recommend the best matches for you to meet.
Our focus with AI is to help create more healthy and equitable relationships. And that also starts with yourself. How can we actually teach you how to date? Mm-hmm. How can we help you show up in a better way?
So give me an example.
Okay, so for example.
This is all going to be a matriarchal stranglehold over society. Basically, inevitably, this AI will become a coach for males to, in advance, before they even meet the female, to meet the female standards of behavior.
You could, in the near future, be talking to your AI dating concierge, mm-hmm. and you could share your...
For a concierge. If you tell me the word concierge, I'm running away. I don't want to be spammed with publicity sent to a restaurant that the concierge is paid to send me to. I don't want to pay fees. I don't want to... These concierge are the most annoying thing. I certainly wouldn't want to trust a concierge AI to choose my woman.
Your insecurities. I just came out of a breakup. I have commitment issues. And it could help you train yourself into a better way of thinking about yourself. And then it could give you productive tips for communicating with other people. If you want to get really out there, there is a world where your dating concierge could go and date for you with other dating concierge. Truly. And then you don't have to talk to 600 people. It will go scan all of San Francisco for you and say, these are the three people you really ought to meet.
Woman never realized the wrongness of the incentives that they create. Basically, you need a conservative brain and you need a male brain, basically. You need a giga male brain to understand the bad incentives that you're creating. Okay, so now the AI is basically capturing your personality and it's going out there representing you against other AI. Who wins in this system? It's whoever can fake the right personality to the AI. So now you're not really selected for self, you're selected for display. And now you have access to the dating world through what you can display to an AI, not what you can deliver to a woman. Now they are about to farm a bunch of hypocrite liars and displayers, which in many ways they've already done. It's already in the normie world. You know how normies, they as soon as they hear a controversial subject, they don't want to hear about it, they can't engage on it, they start having cognitive dissonance, they start explaining away things irrationally. That's been farmed. It's been selected for because we use interfaces and incorrect dating systems and incorrect selection systems. Systems that are satisfied with the lie and the display rather than with the truth. German says, at the end of the day, women aren't satisfied if you are not manly enough anyway. Fuck that, what women say. They will never say, I need to be fucked like whore sometimes. Okay, yes, I mean, sometimes they will say it also. End of the end of the line, Joel says, will the female AI start shit testing the male AI? Exactly. So you hear, you enter an embedded infinity of testing levels and theory of mind, and what is he about to say? What does he really think? What does he really think about what is human really thinks? What does his human really think about what is the AI really thinks about what is human really thinks? You enter the infinite domain of shit tests and lies and social games of the world. Apparently, this girl was not satanic enough to win the Eurovision. She's crying. Look, this is not satanic enough for 2024. Maybe with a costume like this, you can win 1996 Eurovision. So people have been asking me, Jeff, comment on the Eurovision. You know, I didn't know what the Eurovision was up until 3 days ago. And year after year as a newsman, I've been seeing news of the Eurovision. Oh, did you see Sandra at the Eurovision? No, I haven't seen Sandra. What about her? And 3 days ago, I Googled, what is the Eurovision? And it's a singing contest, a little bit like America's Got Talent, but every country of Europe is contributing a contestant, and it's, oh, we vote for the best. And they have to create a new song for winning the contest. And this girl lost because, look at this, not satanic enough. I'll show you the victorious group after, but keep in mind, this is not satanic enough.
Because it has been so hard. It has been so hard for us. And I'm so nervous.
Lady, you can't be crying and attracting human pity for yourself when you have barbed wire around your neck, signaling basically that you are a representant of the devil. Look at this. Devilish images, horns on the head, barbed wire around, some Hindu whatever sign in the middle of the forehead. You can't be crying. You are a tough girl. You're dressed like a tough girl. Now, look at the winners. So that's how satanic you have to be to win at Eurovision. Those are the Eurovision 2025 winners. You can see that the other girl just wasn't, she was out of this league. Just not enough. Barbed wire around the neck. This is so 2004. That says, okay, that may be a bit off topic, but do you have a theory about consciousness? Seems like a pertinent question in regards to AI discussions. Well, I do have a theory. I'm a quasi-eliminativist in the theory of mind domain, where I'm like, first, the idea that you have consciousness and the feeling that you have of your consciousness is inaccurate. I'm not an eliminativist to the point of saying it doesn't exist. There is something in your brain that generates the feeling of being conscious, but that feeling is incorrect. It's wrong. FD says it's still 2024, JF. Yeah, I know. I was getting into what this guy is saying, which is, he says Eurovision 2025 winners. He's saying this is the future, like these quasi satanic dressings are not sufficient. This is where it's going to go. Anyways, to continue my answer on consciousness. So your feelings about what your consciousness is are mostly misguided. Your subjective introspection of the structure of that consciousness are all subject to foolery. And therefore, your subjective appreciation of your state of being is not a a point of scientific data for the outside world. Basically, your consciousness is a lie, but it's a lie that is told by your brain. Just like your... I always come back to this metaphor because I think it's the one that captures what I want to say. Your consciousness has the same status in the universe as your Windows desktop. Your Windows desktop thinks that it's a 2D space, but it's not. Your Windows desktop exists in the of a CPU. It has nothing to do with the 2D space, but it's all made up to feel like a 2D space. And it feels not only to the desktop, as the desktop could send introspection loops, inspecting its own structure, and it would realize. Like, if you had a program, let's say that you have a program running on your Windows desktop in a little window, but that program implements a whole human mind. Now, that human mind could inspect the Windows desktop and would say, holy shit, I'm stuck in a 2D universe. Like, okay, I can move my icon up, down, left, right. I'm stuck in a 2D universe. What am I doing here? Hello, is there anyone beyond the screen? That's what a human mind would feel in a Windows desktop, right? So the Windows desktop is an example of an emergent property of matter that has virtual structure to it, but that doesn't have a real structure. In that if you are to remove the monitor, the Windows desktop is just a bunch of influx in a set of wires in your computer. The same can be said of the brain. If you were to remove the subjective impression of your existence, the brain itself is still there. And ultimately, the fact that you have this impression, the structure of your virtual experience of the world, is summed up into the electrical signals in your brain. The same way the Windows desktop is summed up into a bunch of wires. He says, so I'm emergent property of my brain, but very subjective. Exactly. So now we enter the question of, this is kind of a stunning fact of nature. So you're saying, JF, that that matter can be arranged in a way as to create virtual feelings of self. The answer just turns out to be yes. We could be in a universe that doesn't allow this. We're in a universe that has that can lead to complex enough blocks that it can do this. Matter can be arranged in a way as to create an impression of self. When you think about it, it's not so surprising. It would take a very severely limited universe for something as specific as this not to be doable, not to be creatable. But yeah, that's my position on consciousness. So yes, an emergent property of matter, but in the same way that a pile of shit is, so not in an interesting way. And ultimately, what you call consciousness is a set of delusions programmed into existence by your brain because it was better to have those delusions than not. And those delusions are highly tuned to, reality. So they're not so deluded. You know, we see the world and, you know, most of the things we see, we can use. We see food, we go eat it. We see a female, we have sex with her. So our delusion is impressively not deceiving, impressively in tune with the world. But it's exactly what evolutionary theory would predict. You would need a fictive world in which your brain can make decisions. You will need a representation of the world, but that representation should be accurate enough that your actions selected in your virtual space make sense in the world. The same way the Windows desktop would be very poor if it wasn't connected to the mouse, and the fact that the mouse, as it does, moves into, you know, my mouse on my mouse carpet, as I move this mouse, it will it will correspond in some way to the Windows desktop, and my translations on the X and Y axis will be translated into the virtual space of the Windows desktop in a way that makes sense. It has to make sense, or else the Windows desktop would be unusable. There's a Chinese fraud here. They're claiming that those are baby pandas to attract people to the zoo. They're just a bunch of painted dogs. You have to admire the Chinese. You have to admire their dedication at copying, at making fakes of everything. We have the next generation of MDs, doctors, that are continuing to dance here. Man, the classes are becoming less hot than they were. I remember the equivalent of this for my generation was deeping, dinking, rocking, rolling. Give it to me, baby, and you had sexy females. Now, at this point, it's the music is crap, the singing is crap, the women are ugly. CMC days, NQR projects, I'm gonna need to catch all the shuttles around town. One admission bay, one the VA. Disgusting. A thought before I leave you guys, and I'll be taking a break tomorrow. I need to go into my mind and think about Matt. I need to concentrate. This is an important thing that I wanted to do in my life, contribute some Matt to the world, and I'm approaching something that I would like to publish, so I need a day to really meditate and think cleanly, not have anything to do. I'll take tomorrow. But today, as it is Mother's Day, I leave you with a thought. This Mother's Day, the time is ripe for asking the question of how we can improve the female phenotype and make women of the future better mothers than the current ones. What do we have to do for this to happen? We have to think in terms of incentives. There are terrible incentives for mothers in the world. Mothers are rewarded for going single mom. Mothers are allowed to be transported across the world by plane and truckers and hitchhiking. Mothers are being encouraged to detach from their children for adventure. Mothers are encouraged to deny access to their children from the father using family courts. We need to change the incentives. Dot, dot, dot says, quick, 56 times 13. Well, we have 560 plus 56 plus 56 plus 56 equals 168 plus 560 equals 728.